Welcome back, everybody. Episode 28, Surrender at 5 Podcast. This one is going to be a banger because we finally found a duo stronger than me and Attica. And I'm really excited for this because this is like the best friend connection that everybody wants to have. And not everybody has it. So I'm really excited for this one. Last week, we had Psyche on the show for the Badass Women of Unite. And Curly was busy. Of course, you know, world famous superstar rising in the ranks. But this week, we were able to get her on the show. And I'm really excited because I've always wanted Curly on the show. And finally, the stars aligned. So this week, we have Psyche and Curly Q on the show. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. Hello. Excited to have you here. Really excited. Attica.
Yes.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fabulous. I'm excited to be here in the presence of Curly and Psyche, aka Stromboli, at the same time.
Oh, you said it before me.
I was not prepared. Man. Right. I was waiting. I was like, he's not going to say it. That's mine. I'm taking it. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, we'll get to that part, how the usernames came to be. But when I heard that, I was like, oh, my goodness. But
it died. I'll never forget it as long as I live.
Never forget that story. But yeah, welcome to the show. Welcome back, Psyche. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. I can't believe we're this early in the show and we got the Stromboli drop.
It was a race, I'm telling you.
It really was. And Curly Q, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. It's really good to be here. Yeah, sorry I couldn't be there for the last episode. I was doing casting stuff, but super excited that I finally was able to join in on a podcast.
Yes, it's really cool. Really excited for this one. We got some big names in here. For everybody listening in at home, make sure you guys come check us out on YouTube. As always, follow, subscribe, make sure you support our guests this evening. Shout out to the Twitch chat. Really appreciate you guys being here. You guys really amped tonight. I can see Twitch chat. Really appreciate you guys. So I want to start this off. We like to ask our guests how they got into Pokemon. Before we get into Unite and all that, just kind of pull back the curtain to let the folks know who may not know you just yet, how you got into the world of Pokemon and streaming and things of that nature. So if you guys don't mind, allow me to start with Psyche. I want to ask Psyche, how did you get into the world of Pokemon and what was your first Pokemon game?
So my first Pokemon game was Yellow.
Ooh.
I remember I was like 5 or 6, and I lived with my cousins early in life.
Yeah.
So I have a very specific memory of like being huddled around our one Game Boy, like the four of us.
Oh.
And my oldest cousin, Ryan, started crying hysterically, and he like thought his Onyx died, which that doesn't really happen. And like everyone was like, no, it fainted. And he was like, no, it's dead. And it was like a whole thing. And the whole time I was like, things can die in this game. I want to try. So from then on, like, I feel like my whole life, Pokemon has been the one of the most constant things in my life. It's the like franchise that I've kept up with the most. And even when I was in like middle school, high school, college, when I was like trying really hard to be popular and I was in a sorority and in cheerleading and stuff, I still played Pokemon games like on the low key. So
oh, you got to, yeah.
Yeah, of course. But you know, nobody knew that I had like a DS in my pants drawer in my dorm room.
Yo, that is amazing to hear. For years I was the same, going through high school, college, and then not a lot of folks know, I played a smidget of semi-pro basketball, but through all of those years I was the same and I was playing Pokemon on the low.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't let it go. So I think the only generation I missed was Black and White 2. And then I came back, I think it was XY, things of that nature, and then really died back into it. Because at some point, like, Pokemon just became cool, mainstream-wise, and then everyone was doing it. And I was like, oh, little do you guys know, look at this binder, look at these games, look at my collection.
Yeah, Pokemon Yellow. I did have one sorority sister who played Pokemon, and we would like have our nights where nobody knew that we were playing Pokemon together in the dorm rooms, but we did and it was really cute.
Oh, I love that. Aww. That is so cool. Pokemon Yellow is really awesome. Did you enjoy Let's Go Pikachu, the remake, the 3D version on Switch?
I I did a lot. I actually really liked the break from the battling mechanic where you could just like catch the Pokemon really easily. Like, obviously, I wouldn't want every game to be like that, but it was so nice to just have like, you don't have to worry about battling the whole time. You can just like run through the grass and randomly catch Pokemon really quickly. Same with Legends. I always say Arceus. Yeah. I know that's not the thing, but I liked that you did not have to battle all the time. I liked that there was a new catching mechanic. I hope they keep exploring that because it's fun.
So when you talked about playing on the low, it just made me think of my dresser because I still have the stuff in the dresser. So just so you know, yeah. It's really a thing. Awesome. You're not alone out there. We were all trying to be cool, but keep this on the low until it became okay.
Yeah, I remember when new games would come out, I would go to the store with my mom and we'd go to like Target to go get them. And I would make sure when we were in line at the cash register to be like, man, my cousin's really going to love this game. I'm so glad we're getting it for his birthday.
Oh my goodness. You know, this is a safe space and I'm glad we can share these stories because same experience, but I'd be at GameStop and it'd always be a really smart, intelligent, nerdy dude behind the counter talking about it. Got my hands in my pocket. And I'm just like, yeah, man, I don't know much about it, but my kids like it. So I'm trying to get it for my kids, you know, like totally for me. Totally for me. In the parking lot, ripping it off in the car, getting it started. Oh my God. Yeah.
Literally reading the manual, like in the car. Oh, it's hilarious. Isn't it really funny is. That like we're part of like a bunch of adults in a community that play Pokemon game now? I had no idea that this community even existed until last year. So like
seriously, yeah. Like looking at the back end of the podcast, like the age group brackets. We have way more people who watch and download the show on Spotify from 25 to 52. It blows my mind.
People. Those are like my people. Thank you.
Like that mid 30 bracket is like gigantic. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, and I'm thinking about it like 20 years ago. Like, yeah, I was a kid. So everyone grew up just loving the game.
Like moving with the game.
Yeah. It's really awesome.
All right, but tell me I'm not alone. Curly, did you hide that you played Pokemon too? Because I don't know about y'all. I thrived on that. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go home and play the new game. Who's with me? I'll be in my PJs all night. You guys can just come over. Like, am I the only one out of you three that just embraced it?
So for me, actually, I got started with Pokemon Yellow. But I grew up with an older brother that was obsessed with Pokemon, not just the games, but also the cards as well. I remember my mom would take him to Toys R Us and my brother would compete in actual like Pokemon trading card tournaments and stuff. And me and my brother were super, super competitive. So if he liked something, I didn't like it. Like, I wasn't supposed to like it. I didn't want him to know that I thought what he liked was cool. So I would have to like steal his, like, he would go over like his friend's house for sleepovers and stuff. And so I would go into his room and I would take his Game Boy and his Pokemon games and I would play them while he was away at his friend's house. And I did not want him to know that I liked Pokemon. So I always had to like play it in secret and like, I don't know why I never wanted him to know. Well, and then like if he found out that I was taking his stuff, he would probably get mad. But yeah, so I remember there was a point too, because my mom like gave my brother a lot of attention for that. I remember whenever like Yu-Gi-Oh became a thing, I was like, all right, this is my moment. Mom, I'm getting into Yu-Gi-Oh. And I literally did it just for attention. Like, I wasn't like, I don't even remember any Yu-Gi-Oh cards besides like Blue Eyes White Dragon. So like I really did not care about it at all. I just wanted to like, you know, be into a card game much like my brother was, but it couldn't be Pokemon.
That's fair.
Yu-Gi-Oh is
That's
awesome.
Fair. I love Yu-Gi-Oh. So thank you. Even though you only remember one card, I only remember like three.
That's
so
the best
fine.
Card. That is the best card. That's what got me into Yu-Gi-Oh! That gigantic dragon, just all the flames.
Whatever.
Oh, Exodia.
Yeah,
oh my God.
Yeah, Exodia. There we go.
Exodia. It was like the strongest deck until I'm a nerd. Weevil Underwood took it and threw it over the boat. And Yugi's like, no, my grandpa's deck. That meme is so
you
funny.
You had that ready. You had that stored in your memory for this
Oh,
moment.
Yeah. I'm with you, Curly. I love Yu-Gi-Oh. Blue Eyes White Dragon all the way. Oh, yeah.
100%. We rep it.
So playing Pokemon Yellow, I want to ask, did you guys have troubles fighting Brock at the first gym?
That was so long ago. I honestly like don't even remember what I struggled with. I feel like when it came to the older Pokemon games, especially since I was so young, I don't even recall if I ever like beat any of them. Mainly because I would just kind of run around in the grass a lot, leveling up my Pokemon, trying to find new Pokemon and stuff. Like, for me, I didn't even really care about, like, going through the story. I just loved running around, talking to the NPCs and running into random Pokemon and stuff. So I don't remember, like, what I had difficulty with, like, gym-wise.
What about you? I enjoyed the game. I always got my butt kicked. And like Skullboy said in chat here, I had to go back and find a Mankey and learn the type advantages and disadvantages, because I'm following the anime. I'm like, oh, if Ash could do it, we can do it. Like, just use Pikachu against everything. It doesn't really work that way.
Just overlevel your Pikachu. It's totally fine. That's all I did. Yeah. I'm like, you get to be level 100 immediately. It's fine.
We had Crunches on the show, and she said that she leveled her Butterfree, and her Butterfree just annihilated people. And I was like, you're a boss. I'm like, you were destroying gyms and people with Butterfree? That's crazy.
Right. So
you can just overlevel that one Pokemon and then just use it at every single gym. You're like a level 60 fighting level 30 Pokemon in the gym.
So
that's me.
Yeah, right. So going forward from Pokemon Yellow, what are some other titles as time went on that you guys enjoyed?
Oh, I am a big Pokemon Coliseum truther.
Ooh.
That was my game.
Pokemon Coliseum.
I loved it. For, like, so good. A reformed bad guy. I loved all the music. Mirror B was like one of my gay icons, I think. Like the underground city. And oh my gosh, I love that game so much. I want them to remake it with the exact same story, just a little better looking.
Yes.
And I will play that for a weird amount of times for how many times I've already played the original version.
That's a good one. What about you, Curly? What titles did you enjoy going forward after Yellow?
For me, Pokemon Puzzle League has a huge soft spot in my heart. That game gives me so much nostalgia. Like, I can even like recall like some of the like things that the characters say and stuff. Like, keep on trying. Like, I just,
you can do
like
it.
The music. Sorry. And everything. Yeah, it's like ingrained in my brain. I'm really big into puzzling games. I grew up in a video game family, and my mom was like huge into like puzzles and stuff. So Pokemon Puzzle League, it was like one of my favorite games on the 64, and I still have it on my original 64 to this day.
Oh, let's go. That's so cool. Okay.
I love that. It's amazing.
Heck yeah. So I'd never played Pokemon Puzzle League, games like that. Pokemon Ranger? I don't want to call them the side games, but the games in that category, I never really dabbled into.
Like the Mystery Dungeon and
Mystery Dungeon. Yeah, I felt like when I saw those games, like, it might sound dumb because I played most Pokemon games. But when I saw those games, I was like, nah, that's kiddie stuff. I don't want to play that. But I'm assuming those games were fantastic and really fun.
Have you tried Mystery Dungeon?
I played it a little bit, but this was like when I was sophomore and junior in high school. So in that athlete mindset, getting on varsity and trying to be the cool kid, I was just like, nah, I'm good with Pokemon stuff. But now I'm kind of like, I wish I played them just for the memories and stuff. For anyone listening, don't be the cool kid in high school. Just do what your heart wants, okay? Trust me. Don't hold yourself
exactly.
back.
Don't Being hold yourself cool is overrated. Back. Let's be real. Like, do what you want.
It really is, because look where I ended up doing a Pokemon podcast. So just be yourself, guys. It's okay.
See, and I just followed the same path. Like, always the nerd. Here I am, being a nerd. But
you're right about
speaking
that. Yeah.
of being a nerd and where we are right now, Psyche, Curly, how did you both get into streaming? I'm going to start with Curly on this one. What was the thing that kind of lit that fire under you to say, you know what, we're going to go live?
So I mentioned earlier, video games have kind of been a part of my family, like, since I grew up. My mom was into video games, my dad was into video games, and so was my brother. Kind of got the best of both worlds, like shooter games, horror games from my stepdad, my brother, and then my mom, the cutesy puzzle games, Animal Crossing, stuff like that. So I just like games have just always been a part of my life. And I definitely, like, as I got older, started, you know, turning to video games as like kind of my escape for, you know, going through like tough times and whatnot. And so like as I, you know, got older, I think it was when Fortnite came out, like when it was in beta, like not even like when it released, but just when it was in beta. I remember like few streamers got access to the game early, and I didn't really have like any video game friends until I started going to college. So I had a bunch of friends that were super, super hyped about Fortnite, and they also introduced me to Twitch. So I got into playing Fortnite with my friends, and then I also at the same time got introduced to Twitch. It was my first time like ever seeing like streaming, like live video game streaming, and I thought it was super cool, like seeing how these people had communities, like they were so entertaining and interactive and good at the game. And so, you know, from watching other streamers, I kind of started to like when I would play Fortnite and I would have like moments where I popped off, I would clip it, started posting to like my IRL social medias. And like a lot of my IRL like friends, like people that I went to high school and stuff, like they didn't really care about gaming. Like I only had a few friends that were gamers. And so I was kind of like, you know what? I kind of want to like create my own community of gamers. And, you know, I utilize gaming as a way to escape. I want to be able to create that space for others as well. Through watching and playing Fortnite, I got introduced to my favorite streamer. She's a very big streamer. She originally was on Twitch, but now she's on YouTube. It's Valkyrie. She's like my number one inspiration for streaming. Awesome. I love her vibe. She's so funny. She has an amazing backstory and honestly deserves like all the success that she's had. So she's just huge, huge, huge inspiration to me, especially as a woman. And so, yeah, I just was inspired by her, and then also just like I love gaming, and just the thought of, you know, being able to create my own community of people who also, you know, just wanted to have a place where they could hang out, vibe, have fun, that's what I sought after. So I actually took some time to really plan things out, because that's the kind of person that I am. So like I, you know, saved up, got a PC, I eventually got, you know, a webcam. I used to have like a headset with the mic attached to it. Like everything has been upgraded over time. Damn. Nothing wrong with that. There are some really good headsets with, you know, that you know, mic on the end there. But I've you know, made upgrades throughout the years. I've been doing this since I'll be celebrating 4 years on June 3rd of this year. So I've been, and ooh, I've been congrats. Consistent ever since. Like I set myself a schedule. I said I was going to stick to it. Obviously, you know, if I have my off days, I'll take a day off or whatever I have to do. But yeah, I've just tried to be very consistent, dedicated, and yeah, I'm very passionate about streaming. I love it.
Love to hear that. Like you said, hustle, dedication, motivation. Mm-hmm. That is the key to success right there. Love to hear that. Go ahead, Psyche.
This is like the first gaming community I've ever been a part of, ever, like Unite community. So I actually, this is funny, I didn't really know what Twitch was until I joined the Unite community. So I started streaming in October, and I think I was on Twitter before I was streaming, and it just kind of was like one of those things where a bunch of people were doing it. I wanted to do it, and I would stream here and there, but not very consistently. And then I remember actually it was like a conversation between Curly and Scolded. We were all in BC together one day, and they were talking about streaming, and like they both have way bigger platforms than I do on Twitch. But I remember thinking like, I wish I could relate to this conversation a little bit more. So I think for me, getting into streaming, it was more about like being able to understand my friends and kind of what they were going through. And, you know, just being able to, like, because I'm pretty active, especially in Curly's community. And it helps me that I stream, because now I feel like I have a perspective where I can help her community too. And in turn, like, it's gone very well for me. Like, no complaints. And I've had a lot of fun and stuff. It's not something that I ever thought I would do, because I am kind of shy and awkward at times. But
I honestly can never tell. No sarcasm.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Seriously. You saying you're shy?
I used to be such an introvert too. And like, this has like really gotten me out of my shell, because I am, if you met me in real life, I'm so quiet and just like very timid, I guess. But yeah, no, it's been so much fun. I met so many cool people through it. But yeah, it originally started just like, just wanted to figure out different ways where I could relate to and help my friends with their stuff.
So you said October, but I think it cut out a little bit. Do you mean like October 2021?
22.
So okay,
I've been streaming
for
7 months.
That's crazy. Like, I honestly would have known. That is amazing, bro.
Yeah, it's super new. When I first decided to do it, I did not know what a capture card was. Like, I didn't know. I like didn't have a PC. Like, all of this is very new. It's still new to me. Every day, my chat teaches me different things about Twitch that I didn't know.
Wow. No, this is like so cool and like wholesome, like to learn, because I've followed Curly for a great while now, and I learned of Psyche through Curly streams, subbing, hanging out there, and to find out you're saying you streamed less than a year, I'm just like in awe right now. Like, there's no way, because you just come off so natural. You handle chat very well. Like both of you, obviously, all three of you. But like, to find out you just started Psyche, that's crazy to me. So like, props to you. Just keep it going, bro. Like Curly said, hustle, dedication, motivation. Go ahead.
And I have such good friends, like in people like Curly, who have, if I need anything, if I need advice on it, like they tell me easily. Like, no questions asked. I could not do it without knowing people like Curly. And then obviously, like, if you've ever seen me in a Twitch chat, I like to spam it a lot and be really hyper and goofy. And so I think part of that, like, before I started streaming, I had all these friends from just being annoying in Twitch chats. And so, like, I think all of that combined, it made sense that, like, they came to my streams too, because we're always together, you know? So yeah. It helped that I had already made a lot of friends and I had an active Twitter account going. So I had a lot of things in my corner and a lot of people in my corner when I started.
Got you. Okay. I want to ride Attica's coattail here. So I'll ask Psyche a question, then to Curly. So Psyche, you're saying you're streaming less than a year and you have a major fan base, and I just see you growing every day with it. So let's say somebody wants to start their streaming adventure this month, next month. What's one piece of advice you can give to them as somebody who's still within a year, but taking off very fast?
I would say be very genuine. Again, I've never had the intention of growing. Like, it's always been about enjoying myself and like being with my friends and understanding my friends. And I think you can tell a difference in people who are more about getting ahead. So I think the people that come to my streams come because we're genuinely friends. Like, I would talk to them anywhere. Like, I really just enjoy my time around them. Nice. And so I say that because my next piece of advice is to find a community you're comfortable in, but don't be part of that community with the intention of growth. Be part of that community because you want to be there, because you're actually friends with those people. And just being your best self will help you find the community that you're going to thrive in.
I fully agree with that. I agree with that being your best self part and being in the community without the intention to grow. Because I feel like people who try to push that, and then when it doesn't happen, they'll get frustrated and things could crumble from there. But if you're there to be wholesome, genuine, and just make friends and have a network, I feel like it just happens over time. I used to be the other one a little earlier on, like 2-3 years ago, but then, you know, different groups happen, they get built, they fall apart, and I just learned, like, I just gotta be myself, and then things will just come naturally. And once I stopped trying to push, it just started to happen. And I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. It's so amazing. So W advice right there. It's really great. So my question for Curly, as somebody who is established, well on their way to great things, I want to ask you, for people who have a platform and are starting to grow, or maybe not growing just yet, how could somebody get into starting charity streams? Because I really admire you for that. And the reason I ask is I had a sister growing up. She passed away, rest in peace. She had epilepsy and CP, cerebral palsy. And I've always wanted to raise money for that, but I never knew how to approach it. So I feel lucky to have you here. And I want to ask, how could someone get into charity streams? Because I really want to do that.
So as someone that's trying to find their footing into this kind of work with charity or with streaming, highly suggest Tiltify. Tiltify. They work with various different organizations. They will not take a cut at all. So everything that you raise will go to the charity that you select. And so you'll just have to make sure that, you know, like, just browse through their charity list. There's tons of them. I'm sure you could definitely find one that is related to, you know, something that you care about, which I highly suggest. If you are going to raise money for charity, highly recommend that you find something that means a lot to you, because it just brings so much more value to what you're raising money for when your community sees that, you know, this isn't just, you know, you're just trying to put yourself up on a pedestal and raising money for charity. When you actually care about what you're raising money for, people can tell, like Psyche was saying earlier, like, viewers, you know, pick up on vibes and whatnot. And so I think it's just really important that you raise money for a cause that's very near and dear to you. And then your community will also care about that cause as well. And then really just if you want to have a successful charity stream, plan it out, figure out your milestones, your incentives, you know, be realistic about it. Worst case scenario, you know, you set some goals that are too low or you set some goals that are too high. There can always be another charity stream. You just have to kind of figure it out, trial and error. There have been some milestones that I've tried out that, you know, didn't work out very well, and some things that have done really well that we've brought back to multiple streams. So, just figuring out those milestones, incentives, maybe like a top donor award. Like from my last charity stream that I did, one of my milestones was I'm going to be doing a race to masters on a fresh account, and the top donor gets to join me for that race to masters.
Damn, that sounds cool.
Yeah, so like, you know, you don't even have to like put money into it, you know, like I also use it as an opportunity to maybe like play something else on stream that the community has been you know, talking about or looking forward to. Like, definitely open up the conversation to your community too. Like, what would you guys like to see? Like, what do you think would be a good milestone and incentive? And I always try to include like what my community wants in that, because obviously, like, you know, if it's a charity stream that they get to incorporate their own ideas, and they're going to be more than willing to help you reach them.
That is an amazing answer. I never knew about that. And I definitely want to check out Tiltify. Not to say it just to say it, but I really have always thought about it. And There's a lot of things I'm confident about in life, but that's one area where I'm just like really nervous. I'm just like, I don't know how to do this. I'm scared. I don't know. I don't want to fail. But I've always wanted to make that happen, because growing up with a sibling with a disability, it was really tough, because I think most people experience like bullies in school, but mine was like dealing with people making fun of my sister, because we were close in age. So we were in school together. And I was like, you know what? One day I want to make this happen. So a random sidestep, like when you guys were talking about heights, like I didn't hit a growth spurt until eighth grade. So I was always like the short, pudgy kid everyone poked on and made fun of. But that seventh to eighth grade summer, you best believe I came through walking the hallways real tall, head held real high, you know? So then that's kind of when the teasing shifted to my sister, and then I had to become a defender of that. So really appreciate that answer. Thank you very much. Honestly, that's some W advice right there. Thank you. All right.
Oh, go ahead.
So good, Attica.
Oh, I was actually going to segue, since you were playing new characters as kind of a reward for the basically the dono, the top dono. What actually is the first character you ever played in Pokemon Unite? When you downloaded that game, the very first thing out of all the options we had, what was that first one? And I'm going to start with Curly on this one.
I'm pretty sure it was Lucario. Because, well, okay, I don't remember like first one. I just remember the first Pokemon that I spent my coins on, that I possibly could spend my coins on, was Lucario. And you know what's insane? So I played a lot of Lucario seasons 1 through 3. I loved playing Pup Lucario and Close Combat. And then of course Lucario E-Speed became meta, solo top, and then that's when I kind of stopped playing it. But for some reason, Lucario is still like my highest win rate, and I like don't touch the Pokemon like at all. I don't know why. Maybe I need to go back to my Lucario days, but it's so weird. Like, you guys think I pop off with like Trevenant and Mamoswine, like my defenders, but like my win rates are, you know, Lucario win rate. It's a 56%, but.
With Attica, Lily, can't stop smiling.
Yes.
She's in love right now.
That always shocks people because I'm a defender main and people never see me playing Lucario. But I was really big on Lucario and Zeraora.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
These are my two. What, Curly? Say Curly, what? Come back.
Yo, let me find out. Curly's out here bodying people with defenders. Let me find out. She's amazing with Lucario and Zera. That's pretty cool right there. That's awesome to hear. I wasn't expecting right that at all.
Oh my God.
Wow. You know, might this show was cool because when we asked that question, sorry, go ahead.
I might have to bring that back for Attica.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. It's just cool just doing the show.
Treat.
Because we find out like someone comes on as their main, and then to find out like Cookie Dough said that she was playing Pikachu, and I was like, what? I know you're from Blissey. So to find out like the character that someone's known for in the said moment, they played something totally different, and I was like, this is awesome. Yeah. Man, this is really cool. So Lucario and Zera. All right Curly, I see you. Okay. Man, all right, Psyche, what about you?
So the first one that I got from the store was actually Garchomp.
Oh, what?
Which is whack.
That's not a psychic type. Wait.
It's not psychic. I play mainly ranged attackers, jungle mons, and supports right now. And Garchomp, not really any of those. I'm pretty sure I like looked at a tier list online or something, a very inaccurate one. And it was like, Garchomp's the best mon you can get. And I was like,
oh no.
Oh my goodness. No.
And I remember too, because I was so frustrated because I was kind of cheeks at it. And I wanted Gardevoir so bad because Gardevoir and Hatterene, my top two favorite Pokemon. And I wanted Gardevoir, but all of these stupid tier lists that thought Garchomp was the shit didn't like Gardevoir very much. And so finally I caved and did it. And so my first season I climbed to like something stupid with Gardevoir. But Garchomp was my first purchase. I want to believe it was because I think Cynthia's pretty.
But I don't think that's
true. Shout out to Cynthia.
Wait, y'all are playing my trios though. Like, I started on Garchomp and moved to Zera and Lugia. Like,
oh, wow.
Hello?
Crazy.
Hello?
Wow, look at that.
I love you guys.
I love it. I love this. Yeah, for real. Bow down. I love the energy here because those characters like are amazing. Like you have to body with them. And obviously the three of you do. So that's pretty cool. And Psyche, I couldn't tell Gardevoir was your favorite because you caught me with three ults the other night. I was in the black pit. Ouch. Oh my goodness. I was like on the edge and I was like, run, run. And Psyche's like, nope, gotcha.
That Boom. Was so funny too because I remember I was the imposter that game. Like,
couldn't
I was
it.
Trying to...
couldn't believe it.
I got like 2 quad kills. I played so much better when I was the imposter, and it was not intentional in the slightest.
You really did. But you know, since we're talking about that, let's slide to that. So for those listening, a few nights ago Nick Does and Kestastic hosted, I think it's the first ever Pokemon Sus Invitational, which I felt very blessed to be a part of. People like Mage, Locke, Taco, Curly Q, and Psyche here. And going into it, never played Among Us or any kind of deception game. So I was like the innocent boy learning his way through. So halfway through, I learned how to be deceptive a little bit and defend myself in the deliberations. So the one time I was actually the imposter, I botched it because I picked one of the banned characters on accident. And I knew it right there. I was like, no matter what I do for the next 10 minutes, they're going to annihilate me. And as soon as the match is over, they're all just like, Mike. I'm like, any deliberations? Nope, it's Mike. So I was like, damn, I'm out. But I want to ask you guys, how was your experience going through it? We'll go with Psyche first and then Curly, because Curly captured the crown for the event. So go ahead, Psyche.
So I have actually never played Among Us either. But I do love lying on the internet. So I actually had a great time. That was really natural.
Didn't even hold back. You know what I'm just talking about, being genuine and honest, you know, as a streamer.
You know?
Nailed it.
Oh my goodness.
I'm a Gemini, okay? There's two sides of me.
That is too funny.
So I feel like I did well for my first time. I felt like I was really good at the lying part. I loved being the imposter. I hated trying to figure out who was the imposter. And I loved the attention too. So like, I don't know. It really suited me as a person.
Curly, how was your experience playing Pokemon Sus Invitational?
Well, I am the winner of the Sus Invitational, so I am the most sus you may think. And a little bit of history, unlike Psyche, I have much experience with Among Us. I was super, super obsessed with the game. I loved it. I just think it is such a different kind of game. It is a little... It's interesting because, like, the game is, you know, you have to kind of be deceitful, you have to be manipulative, lie, throw people under the bus and whatnot. But as long as you find really chill people that, you know it's just a game and you got to do what you got to do to win the game, it is such a good time. So basically, there was really nothing to it. I was just like, okay, so I'm not going to, like, really throw on purpose. I'm just going to, like not play as good as I normally would, but like I kept making like little tiny mistakes that like I didn't mean to do at all, just, you know, just me being me. And I'd be like, oh no, they're gonna sus me, like they're gonna think it's me and it is me, and like I did like this wasn't intentional. Like I remember there was a Regieleki going to our tier 2 and it was like 220. And I was Goodra. And so I was like, okay, well, like, we have a little bit of time to, like, get rid of this. So I'm going to try to, like, you know, get rid of it. I realized, okay, I'm Goodra. I actually can't get rid of this in time. So I started to walk away. And then my Greninja teammate goes up to the Regieleki where I am and starts hitting it. So I'm like, oh, okay. I turn back. I'm like, all right, we can shred this now because I have a teammate. Well, that made me look sus. They were like, Curly, why did you walk away from, you were hitting the ray and then no one was there and then you walked away and you were going to let it in. And then as soon as Greninja went up there, then you walked back to it. Why? I'm just like, well, this is my thought process. And I wasn't lying. Like this was my intention. This is why I did this, but it made me look sus. So I just thought it was really funny how like, even when I wasn't trying to like grief my game, I look like a griefer.
Attica, I know you were in travel and working. Did you catch any of the sus games or the tweets activity after?
I saw the tweets. I definitely, you guys know that I'm a fiend for Twitter. But I did see the tweets about it and I was crying in the club because I wanted to be part of it. And of course, as everything, I can't join anything because of my work schedule. So that's amazing though. I would have, if I was the imposter, I would have sussed myself out immediately because I just play poorly anyways. So I would have been the one that used the little Goodra pull, like the get over here and accidentally pulled the thing into the base. And that's imposter or not. That is just my style. So, you know, I would have been really bad at it.
Yeah. So for me, I believe everybody was streaming. I'll say everybody. Shout out to Locke. I think Locke fell asleep. I hope he woke up at some point. Shout out to Locke. I was streaming. And in between my games, I'd hop over to Nick's stream, turn the audio up, and then listen to deliberations. but then mute it, go back into my team when it was time for our deliberations. And for the times that me and Psyche were teammates, like she really is like a psychic gym leader, Elite Four member, champion, because I believed everything she said. There was only one game, but everything she said, I was just like listening. I was like, oh, it's not Psyche. No, she wouldn't lie. She's cool. She's cool, you know? And then Kestastic would be like, all right, imposter, speak up. It gets quiet. And then boom, here goes Psyche. Hey, guys. I'm like, what? I'm like, no way. There's no way. And then there were games where listening to Curly do deliberations, it was insane listening to initially her team be like, it's you, it's you. And then I don't know if you do like debate club or if you're going to be a lawyer, but she just came out with this beautiful case and explanations and scenarios and timestamps. And everyone's like, okay, it's not her. And they just blame everybody else. And then Kez is like, all right, imposter, speak up. And then, hey, guys. And I was like, oh, it was Curly. Like, oh my God, you guys are like made for that. So it was such an amazing time. Like, you guys murdered that. It was so cool.
Yeah, me and Psyche were tied for the longest time too. We had we were tied at 5 points, and then we were both imposters in the same round.
Oh, so, talk like, about that. Like, yeah.
Yeah, there was like the imposter channel of me and Psyche. We're like, oh sheesh. Like this is gonna be so great. I was trying to focus Psyche because we were like, okay, let's just like focus each other and like just, you know. But, like, it didn't work out that way because, like, I mean, just the game, you know, the game happened the way that it did. But
I literally picked Pikachu. So, like, of course, my ults hit everybody in the vicinity that I could only let them off at certain points. So I'd, like, walk up to Curly, go to ult her, and then all of her teammates were behind her, and I would, like, kill a lot of people on accident. Yeah, it never worked out that way. Yeah, Curly won that round.
It was amazing. That was the one game that I picked up on when Psyche was Pikachu, because I forget which objective it was. And I'm like, hey, because I didn't know who it was at first. I'm like, what's that Pikachu doing? And I move the camera and then go back. And then I'm just like, wait a second. That seems kind of suspect. And then that's when the game picked up to me. And I was like, oh, the sus games. I get it now. So that was the one time we were doing deliberations. I had no words, nothing else. And they just asked me, who do you think it is and why? And I was just like, nope, it's Psyche. It's that Pikachu.
Yeah, y'all got me so fast.
From that one moment, I was like, it's Pikachu.
Everyone thought it was me. I was like, I can't even.
Yeah. But that was really great. Shout out to Nick and Kez for that event. Really cool. Came up for the next one and any other events that they put together. So, yeah, let's segue and keep this going. For Pokemon Unite, I want to ask you guys, for this season, we know everybody is feeling the same pressure from Zacian and Comfey. I want to ask you, which Pokemon have you used and what ways have you found to get around it and still enjoy the game? Because I thoroughly enjoy it. I just accept it for what it is. Like most games I played, there's going to be power creeps. And this duo right here is really powerful. So let's start with Curly. How have you gotten through this season and how do you keep the good vibes going?
Well, as far as like what Pokemon I've been using, I've been sticking to Trevenant and Slowbro. I think as much CC as you can throw on that dog, the better. So those have been my two go-tos. But honestly, it's really hard as a streamer because like you usually like set yourself time to stream. You're like, okay, I'm going to stream for 3 hours. I'm going to stream for 5 hours. And you sit down and it's like whether or not your games are going really good or really bad, you just kind of like sit there and have to push through it. I highly suggest, there are so many streamers who do like friendlies, customs, community nights, and I know there's so many people, like I'll play standards and people will come by and they're like, oh, standards, you know, there's a bunch of bots in standards. I'm like, you know, it actually, with the way that this game is, it is really fun to hit a bunch of bots. Like I actually love standards because like I'm a defender main, and so I feel like if I want to rank up, I know, right? I'm surprised. If I want to rank up, like, I have to play what I've mastered. So that's what I stick to with rank. But then when I jump into standards with my community, I like playing Scizor. I like playing Snorlax. I like playing Greedent. I can actually enjoy playing other Pokemon besides just spamming what I'm good at and still end up like winning my games and having a good time despite it being bots. Like, it's just really nice to be able to just enjoy the game actually for fun. Like, imagine playing video games for fun. I know, right? Crazy. But it really, seriously, if you're having a tough time, especially if you stream, if you're having a tough time with rank, switch over to some standards with your community for a little bit. It's such a good time. It really is. And just play something new, experiment, troll, have fun. Like, actually enjoy the game for what it is, because there's so much more to unite than just rank and elo. And like, we should be having fun with this game. So experiment and try to find what that means to you. For me, it's standards with my community.
Love that answer. I haven't played standards as much as I used to, but with those words, I need to get that incorporated back into my streams, because it's exactly what you just said. Like, ranked elo, let's go. But you know,
guilty.
What
guilty.
I gotta switch it up.
I'm a big rank snob too, so like, for the longest time I would never play quick matches. I would never play standards. And now it's so refreshing, and I actually really do enjoy my time playing standards with the community. So find streamers who are doing that. Usually it's in, you know, their stream title, friendlies, community day, you know, whatever. There's streamers doing them all the time.
That's good advice. Before we get to Psyche, I want to do that more, because a part of this game that really attracts me is the visuals. And I love the visuals of the other maps, but every time I log this game on, I start streaming and someone's like, "Hey, we ranking?" And I'm like, "Yep, let's go." Instead of like going to standard, trying the snow map out, if it's still there. I hope it's still there. It's beautiful. And then the quick match maps, like the 3v3. I love that map. The square that goes around, is it Reggie? Oh my God, who is it?
Like Regigigas, I think.
Regigigas, thank you. Park. I swear I play. Yes. Yep, that map. Love it. The 4v4, like, all the maps are so cool to me. And like, that's what drew me into this game, is the visuals. And I need to get back to that. So that's some good advice. So yeah, let's ask Psyche. What Pokemon have you been using to get through this Zacian Comfey era? And what do you do to stay positive about it with your community?
Yeah, so I have been trying to utility a little bit more. If I get first pick, I'll probably go with like an Espeon. But I also like, I'll Blissey I have a ton of games with. And then the other night, I was trioing the other night, I trusted my trio, so like, I let them pick, and then they let me run like Trevenant, Cinderace, like just all sorts of random picks, that, and it went really well. And when I'm streaming, I'll do ranked, and I don't know why, but it's just so much easier for me to stay positive when I'm streaming, probably because I'm just watching chat and they're all really silly and goofy and make me laugh. And I can guarantee you, I don't know what's going on in my game most of the time because of my chat, which is fine with me, because then I can be like, "Oh, sorry, I was reading chat." But as far as like my downtime, I used to play this game just religiously every day. Like, I'd come home from work and play. I don't really play off stream anymore unless I've been like invited to play, or I've been trying really hard to like say yes to more events and like opportunities like that. Because I'm pretty, again, I mentioned it before, I am pretty shy. So I'll get really comfortable with my people and stick in my corner and just like do whatever they want to do. So I've been trying to do a better job of saying yes to things. So we did like the Women's United, or the Women's International Women's Day customs. And then we, like the Sus games. I know I'm going to be playing with Kes on Wednesday. I'm going to be doing something with Void King sometime this month. I can't remember the dates exactly, but just like trying to say yes to things more often. And I think it's really important to find creative ways to play the game when we can't really count on the game itself right now and like the way it's the devs are handling things. But if you still want to get, you know, scratch the itch, I think it's really fun to get a group of friends together and play in fun and creative ways. And yeah, that's what I've been trying to do.
No, I love that. I'm inside the attic. I'm talking a lot. Go ahead.
Oh no, I absolutely love that. I'm guilty of being a ranked only gamer for the most part. Occasionally I'll break out some customs, but I can't do quick matches. I'm so bad at them. I think that's really what it is. Like, it's a me thing. I'm like, oh, I have no idea how this works, so I'm just not going to do it. Yeah. But I think especially in this meta right now, and like you guys are saying, how the devs are handling everything, really going to standards, fighting against some bots. And some of those bots are sweaty now. What the heck? Like the one with the Blastoise, the one that's actually programmed well. I'm like, excuse me, how am I supposed to stack against you? That's rude. So, I mean, it's really... I don't think it's wrong to go into standards. And like Psyche said, most of the time we're distracted with our chat anyways. So why are we trying to sweat 25-8? I don't think that that's necessary. So I love those answers. I think those are great recommendations, honestly, for anybody not only streaming, but honestly for everybody playing the game. Like, take a breather. You run into Zash and Kumpy 3 times in a row and it's just terrible. Go do something else for a second. It's all right. Still play the game. Just, you know, different part of it. There's options for us.
That is so true. I'm going to take a quick time out to give Cookie Dough a shout out. She just raided us with 83 people. So thank you very much for bringing all these people to episode 28 featuring Psyche and Curly Q. Really appreciate that. Thank you very much. For anybody listening on audio, Spotify, I see all the subscribers we have. Make sure you guys come check us out on YouTube and give follows to Psyche and Curly Q. Come support them. Really appreciate it. Hey, I have a random question. Random sidestep. What do you guys think of this LeChonk sticker they're giving us in Unite?
Isn't there like a LeChonk frame too? I think I'm actually more hyped for the frame.
Or is it a frame? I misworded it. I'm sorry.
I think it's multiple things. I don't know. I just load up my game and there's like this the LeChonk thing that comes up. I feed it a berry and I don't know what happens. So I thought I saw something that there's like a frame sticker. Like, I think there's a few different things. I don't know. Yeah, LeChonk is cool. You know what else is cool? Nerfing Zacian and fixing matchmaking.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yes. Just so you guys know, I'm heavy with the sound effects on the stream deck. So yeah, anytime you guys make great points, there's a sound effect with it. So there was a round of applause for that one right there. Oh my goodness. Yeah. It feels like a distraction. Here's a sticker. Here's a border. But like Curly said, where's the matchmaking fix? Like,
I'm just hoping that they have something like just a big giant update waiting for us at the end of the season. Like, that's, it might be copium, but I feel like there's been so many times when I get to the point with Unite where I'm just like not enjoying it as much as I was. And then they do some update where I'm just like, oh my God, I am obsessed with Unite again. So that's kind of just what I'm hanging on to. Like, I'm just very patient very hopeful that at the end of these, what I think we have like 16 or 15 days left in the season.
Yep.
Hopefully everything will at least go back to the way that it was in season 9. That's what I'm hopeful for. But yeah, it's been rough for a lot of people this season.
Yeah. I just logged in 2 days ago and I saw the border thing in the feed the berry. And I just like, not, I mean, sarcastic, but kind of serious. I like balled my fist and I was like, please tell me they're not going to drop LeChonk in this game. Oh my God. Like, I don't want to run around as a pig.
Imagine the like little legs though, like just like pedaling across the map. I know, I saw that. I like opened my game. I think I was streaming and I just was like, okay, like cool, I'll give the berry to the pig. But I do think that it's really funny that the border, I'm pretty sure, is just like LeChonk on top of LeChonk. Like, there's just like clusters of LeChonk. I don't really get it, but I'm whatever. It's just another thing to get in game, and I'm like, I really love skins and stickers and stuff. So cool.
Yeah,
thanks, Steph.
Hey, speaking of devs, Attica, if you don't mind, another random side step from these notes here, because this came within the week. Somebody who represents, is it Unite or Tencent, put a tweet out saying that they would field questions and responses as long as we weren't the D word. So what did you guys think of that person putting the tweet out? And if you did read the thread, I know there's a lot of responses. You can say your response. What did you guys think of that effort?
I had a lot of respect for it. I know they stated somewhere that they don't actually work on Unite, but that they're very passionate about it and they want to see it do well. So hopefully they have some connection, you know, with some coworkers or whatever and can... I mean, obviously, they made the post for a reason. Like, I don't see why they would make the post and then not do anything with the information. And I know a lot of people feel like, you know, they don't listen to us and stuff. But that post kind of made me a little hopeful, especially when you go and you read through those and everyone's pretty much talking about the same three things. Communication, matchmaking, balance updates. Like, those are the three main things. And hopefully, like, regardless if they really go into the details of what we said, that they just see, okay, communication, matchmaking, balance updates, got it, like, let's work on it. Communication is just a really big thing for me. Like, I just, even if they take time to fix things, I just want to know that you're aware and that you're working on it. That would hold me over. The fact that we don't even, you know, we don't have any communication with them whatsoever, like, we're left in the dark. We don't know what happens until it happens, and I don't feel like it should be that way.
You're right about that, Curly. Yeah. Psyche?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's what I said too. And I thought it was interesting that he didn't actually work on Unite. I was like, but do you see that, like, there are more replies than there are likes and retweets and quotes? Like,
yes, they got ratioed.
The fact that, like, it has this many replies. Like, doesn't that tell you that, like, we're starving for communication? And so, like, if, like, two of our devs would do that, it would cut down on the, like, group pylon so significantly. If they would just, like, once a month be like, yo, time for event sesh, like, in our replies, what do you need from us? Like, I don't know why it's so difficult to do that, but, I don't know what it's like to develop a game. I know, so when I replied to it, I said, like, communication, and then I knew that a ton of people would talk about Zacian and matchmaking, so I mentioned, like, the tutorials, the beginner tutorials.
Yes.
Yes.
Those need to be fixed.
Oh my god.
So bad. They're, like, in, they're not even in Sky Ruins, they're in Remote Stadium.
Yeah.
But, like, and I feel like it turns people off of the game because there's either people who don't know what they're doing and lobbies full of people who know what they're doing. Therefore, the people who know what they're doing get frustrated and want to quit. And then the people who don't know what they're doing, because the game doesn't really tell you what you're doing very well, they get discouraged because they're getting their butts kicked. So, I feel like that goes overlooked a lot. And I knew that other people were going to touch on, like, the really, really pressing issues. But I felt like the tutorials, man. And, like, do tutorials on specific mons. Like, have a section where you can learn how to play each mon if you want to. And they can all be optional, you know? But I feel like that would just help so much, because there's so many things that I learned when I started playing with people a lot better than me that I wouldn't have known if I had just tried to figure it out by myself.
Oh, bingo. I would have never known, honestly, anything about this game if I hadn't found the streamer community. I was like, oh, that's how that works. Okay. Like, hello, game. Teach, especially if they're going to release mons that have, like, a paragraph for how every move works. Give me a tutorial, please.
Yeah.
Hey, earlier, speaking of Yu-Gi-Oh, there are some characters that just have, like, a sentence for descriptions on moves, like Venusaur. And then there are some that have the Yu-Gi-Oh text, where it's, like, a giant paragraph and different sections within it. And I'm like, oh, wait, this is the novice character, and that's the expert one. Why isn't there a deeper session in the tutorial to teach folks stuff like that? But no, you guys have great points on that tweet. When I saw the tweet, it was like, I have the energy of, like, you know what? I have a lot of ideas and this, that, and a third. And then it's like, okay, what's your ideas, Mike? And I'm like, I just like fumbled it. But I agree with the communication part. And one of my responses was definitely the tutorial, because it's like you said, it has the Zapdos map. And I'm just like, this doesn't help anybody starting the game new. I have a bunch of friends I could introduce it to, but I don't feel like they're going to learn it the right way. So I just hope they have like some kind of overhaul, revamp. I thought it would come with Pokemon Day. It didn't. Zacian came out. So here we are. Oh, man.
Here's what's going to happen. We're going to get a new map, and then they'll update the tutorial, but it'll be for Theoruns instead of the game.
That's the tech. You guys didn't look
at Theoruns in the tutorial, so be it.
Here you go. But also, there's a new map, so it still doesn't match.
Take that.
Map number 3, they upgraded to Rayquaza. Oh my goodness. That is too good. Speaking of this person tweeting on Twitter, Psyche, question for you. Can you teach the folks at home listening and those listeners who are going to jump to YouTube and watch, how can one improve their Twitter game? Because you're a master.
I'm out of the closet as a gay person. <I'm just
kidding>. That's an amazing answer right there.
I got myself with that one. So you really, the biggest things I do, I have a Pinterest folder full of reaction pictures that I can use anytime, and sometimes they don't even have to make sense. It just ups your game. I tweet some of my intrusive thoughts, but others I let go. You really have to know your audience. the ones that I let go to my circle most of the time.
Shout out to the circle.
I asked someone, someone asked me one time, like, who are you pandering to when you tweet? And I'm like, it kind of the millennial, like, the humor of millennials who are too young for Facebook, but maybe not, like their humor isn't necessarily as niche as some of the things you'll see like on TikTok with Gen Z. So it's like right in the middle there. That's what I feel like most of our demographic that plays this game. So anytime it's really nuanced, I kind of stay away from my jokes. And sometimes they don't hit. Like sometimes I will tweet those and they don't really hit, but I think they're hilarious. But otherwise, yeah, no. I have just folders and folders and bookmarks of videos, and I'll be like, how can I relate this to Pokemon? And as soon as I have one of those ideas, I post it. And sometimes I delete them very quickly.
Man, so the trick is to get the folders ready. Because I always wonder, like, how does she do it so fast? And how are they so funny? Not that I'm questioning it, like, mad. I'm just, like, in awe.
No, but it's
I'm just,
true. Like, it's, like, what?
It's just, like, perfect.
Amazing.
Like, earlier, when I put that tweet out, and then you put a retweet of, this is our DM conversation, and it was the two girls screeching. I was just like, oh my God, like, she is money. Like, there has to be a lane where Psyche gets, like, paid for tweets. Like, they are amazing.
I agree.
There has to be a way. But thank you for asking that. I answered that question.
I told my friends, too, like, when I was growing up, I was not the cute one. I was definitely not super cute growing up. But I really wanted to have a bunch of friends. So I worked really hard on my personality, and then I got really cute, so now I'm just perfect.
There
now
you
you're
go.
OP. Like,
there
what?
It is.
I love her. She's
now you're overpowered. Now they can't stop you.
It's crazy. They can't stop me, guys.
Nerf Psyche win.
Right?
6 months after Zacian. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. When they update the tutorial map, that's when they're going to nerf me.
Yeah, oh, there God. We go.
Never.
So for those listening, you heard it here first. Get your folder game up. Start stocking up your folder. So take this next month off. Get some research in. Take a few days every week. Get your folder game up. And then I want to see some amazing tweets next month. All right, you community, I got to see it. Because Psyche, I'm trying. I'm just like, I was like, how do I do this? Like, between you and Big Bud and everyone who's funny, I'm just like, I feel like I'm funny.
Oh my God.
Maybe just to myself. I don't know.
Big Bud? Okay, wait. Can I say bad words?
You are allowed to, but real quick, I was restraining myself because I didn't want you and Curly to feel awkward. So feel free.
Oh, no, not at all.
Oh, are you serious?
Yes, yeah, this is
everybody thinks all right. I'm PG-13.
Oh, okay. Feel free. Unleash. Let's go.
So Big Bud tweeted the other day and it just said, fuck you at Papa John's. And I...
Wait, what?
No context. It just said, fuck you.
What the hell?
I almost made it a sticker in my server because I was like, I don't know the context. This is hilarious. He's so pissed at Papa John's. And I didn't want context. Like, he's hilarious.
No, no context.
And it's like, it's perfect. My tweets are definitely very calculated. Like, I put, you know, I get the videos ready, I make it related to Unite. His is just so naturally just fuck you, Papa John. It killed me.
No context, just fuck you, Papa John's. Okay.
Like, that's all I wanted to know. Oh my goodness.
That dude.
So we either prepare like Psyche or we just get really mad at a brand and provide zero context. I'm taking notes, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. Oh,
the next day he did something or like a little while later he was bedazzling something and I can't remember what he said, but it killed me too. Like, I had to like reply at that point. I was like, dude, you're naturally hilarious. Like, I feel like you're not trying to be funny right now, but it's killing me.
Wait, was it the bedazzling for the shoes for Twitch or something? I think I saw that one.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Good.
Bedazzling something. And then he was like, at he's Twitch, next bra, time you want to do like Kai's shoes, like messaging me for bedazzling
job. Only took me like hours. And I'm like,
I don't know why. It just killed me.
That one was funny. The bedazzling tweet. And then he just tags Twitch and he's like, next time you guys need something for Kai Sanaa, hit me up. I was just like,
he has like bitter humor and I love it. Like,
yes.
I love a little like shade. I live for the drama, I guess.
Yeah. When he was on the show, like, I knew the word, but I never thought of it until he said it. And I was like, oh, I'm kind of this way. He said that he's just naturally a contrarian. So like, that's definitely his energy. So yeah, you picked up on that, right? Because he said whatever is popular, he does the opposite. And he's like, that's just who I am. And I was like, I respect it. No problem. Yeah, of course.
I love people who will throw the shade.
Yeah. But he does it so like tastefully. It's not like cringe toxic, but no, it's like hilarious. Right. Draws people in.
It's so funny. Fuck you, Papa John.
I would like to know the story behind that. I want to
know. It was something about being on the toilet. I saw it in the replies.
Oh, damn.
He had a bad experience with Papa John's.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And what he said about it was really funny, too. And I can't. While you guys talk, I want to look it up because it was so funny. Yeah. I'm on Twitter right now. Hang on.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, Attica, real quick, I saw your puppy in the background a couple of times. Beautiful puppy.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, Mako had his head on my lap like through half of this. So I'm like, it's okay. Everything's fine. I don't know what he's on about. It's fine.
Yeah. Hey, this will bring in the listeners from Spotify to YouTube. Attica, would you mind showing the audience that beautiful, beautiful, shiny G-Max Charizard plushie? Is that okay? Is that a secret?
Yeah, let me figure out where I put it. My stream room's still a mess from last night because I was up to like, I'm on OCE hours. Yeah. It's fine.
Do your thing. I got you. Hey, Curly, I see that that score bunny plushie in the background. I love Cinderace. That score bunny is awesome.
Mm-hmm. I have the three starters from Sword and Shield. Oh my god, that
look
is
at
so
that.
Cute.
That thing is boss. That thing is
it's
boss.
Not mine. My friend drops off his plushies and tells me to babysit them, and then he never takes them back.
Oh my god. It's yours.
I love that. That's so cute.
It's amazing. Yeah.
I don't have any shiny plushies yet.
When I saw it last night, I was like, oh my goodness.
Like, hello?
Me either. I didn't know they made shiny plushies. That's so cool. Like, that's really
it's
amazing.
So cool.
Yeah. I have no plushies. I'm a loser. I gotta get some.
How do you not have plushies? Excuse me?
I haven't purchased one yet.
We gotta get some fundraisers going for this man. He needs plushies. He needs a laptop cooler. What else do you need?
Oh my goodness.
You need your basement to be set up so I can have that brick aesthetic on the podcast. Excuse me.
That's true. Next week, I swear, I'll be in the basement. Perfect. And then the week after, I'll have a plushie. I'll work my way up.
I just want you guys to know that Big Bud said, my sphincter has essentially been a shower head all morning.
Yo?
No.
Oh my goodness.
R.I.P. in peace, Big Bud. I'm sorry, dude.
R.I.P. Big Bud. Man, I love sound effects. I'm glad I can fill in that space. Oh my goodness.
I know chat really wanted to hear that too. You're welcome, guys.
Of course.
They're here for this kind of stuff, most definitely. Remember, we're the fun community casual podcast. Oh yeah. So we're getting close to that time, so I want to jump to the next part here. I want to ask, let's go to Curly first. Curly, do you have any events coming up that you might want to promo and get the word out on?
Oh my gosh, March was the busiest month of streaming that I have ever had. So things are finally slowing down for me. So what I have coming up in the future, I usually do at least two casting, or I cast two times over at Unite Battle Hub. If you're not familiar with them, I hope this is okay. but Unite Battle Hub is a grassroots tourney league, and they host tourneys for NA, EMEA, which is Europe, Middle East, Asia region, for Latin America region. Yeah, and some of them are for cash prizes too. So I am a part of their team over there. So I actually got invited to cast with them back in October, and they have me keep coming back. So I've been diving into casting with them over there. So definitely be sure to check out Unite Battle Hub. So two of those this month. I have my 4-year celebration in June, and then I'm also going to I was talking to my community about it today, actually. No one in the Unite community has done a Defender tourney. So I am going to start planning a big Defender tourney to take place sometime after Umbreon gets its initial, tweaking around. Regardless if it comes out undertuned or overtuned, surely it's probably going to need to be adjusted. So I'm shooting for a Defender tourney sometime around then, but that's not for a while. So I'm just chilling and, just taking stream one day at a time until, those days come up.
A Defender tourney?
Yeah. It's so cool.
Yo, I don't know if you know, but for some reason, at one point in time, they banned me for my username. It's just Mike Lowry. I don't understand why, but that's okay. So in that 2-week dry period, the first few days I was like, I'm not playing this game, I'll play Scarlet or something else. And then I got the itch and I used my Smurf, changed the name to Mike Slowbro, and I fell in love with it. And then I started playing other defenders, and I'm like an attacker all around the main, but playing defenders is so cool because you can set up the attackers to come in and finish people off. So a defender tourney sounds amazing. I consider myself creative, but that sounds awesome. I can't wait for that. I got my eyes peeled. I follow you guys on Twitter all the time. I'm definitely keeping my eyes peeled for that. That is going to be so cool. Oh my God. That is genius right there.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be needing a lot of people to help me out with that. So it's going to be again, after Umbreon though, because we have so many defenders now. So I just think it would be so cool. And I'm also probably going to let Wiggly slide on that as well, because Wiggly is pretty much a defender, if I'm being
honest.
So I might let Wiggly slide on that, and there would just be I'm just so excited to see how many different comps people come up with and whatnot. And I'll probably do it solo queue, or not solo queue, but you can sign up with the team, but I'm gonna randomize everybody. So
yeah. I love that.
Yo, this is so cool. Before we jump to Psyche real quick, my brain's putting this idea. I remember now. For the longest time, wasn't Curly Q leading the charge in the community and on Twitter about when are we getting a new defender? That was Curly, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then finally, I think they were like, you know what? Hold my beer. And then, boom, boom, boom. Here we go. Defender, defender, defender. This is cool. So I think we all should really be thanking you, because I don't recall anyone else ever talking about when are we getting Defenders. So shout out to Curly for that. Gudra.
Yeah, and
I had countdown on my or not a countdown, but we counted every day until we got a Defender. It took 420 days for us to get a new Defender. From the time that we got Trevenant, yeah. Or well, Gudra came out on the 420th day. That's how long it took us to get a new Defender.
On her birthday.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing, too. I had I actually had no idea. Some people think that I had an inside scoop on this, and I actually had no idea. So it was sometime, I think it was, like, late January or February. I was like, hey, Pokemon Unite, so it's been, you know, X amount of days since we've had a new Defender, and listen, my birthday is on March 16th, and I wear a size Gudra in Defender, and this was, like, maybe my third or fourth time adding Pokemon Unite, telling them that I wanted Gudra in Unite. And I remember someone from the math court had messaged me like sometime after I made that tweet, and they were like, is your birthday actually on March 16th? And I was like, yeah, why? Like, why would I lie about that? And they're just like, I was just asking. So then I ended up finding out later that it was actually intended on coming out on my birthday on March 16th. And they knew that. They had that information. And they thought that I had that information. So that's why they were like, so your birthday is March 16th. Like, they were trying to see if, like, I actually knew.
Yeah.
And I had no idea. So when it actually was, like, announced, I was freaking out.
That's crazy. That is such a cool gift. Like, I know Attica said she gave me some birthday gifts and a cooler for my computer, but to get a Pokemon for your birthday, that is W status right there. So cool.
That is really, really cool. I screamed when I saw that it was Gudra and it was going to be on your birthday. I'm like, she had to know. She had to know, and you didn't. It's
and
amazing.
Lapras too. Lapras is coming next. Right? Like, my God.
But can I just so rep? Perfect. I didn't realize this was going to happen, but can I just rep?
Ayo.
We're getting Umbreon. Ayo.
Umbreon, yes.
Yes,
so cool.
I'm so excited.
Real quick, Curly and Psyche, do you guys take off soon? I don't want to burn too much time of yours.
Pretty soon.
Gotcha. Oh. Okay. All right, so Psyche, let's get to you. Do you have any upcoming events and things you want to promo, get out there?
I hang around other people's stream. Like I'll be with Kes on Wednesday. I know Curly and I are going to do like a It Takes Two thing, but
so
mostly
excited.
As far as events go, I'm bad at planning things. I'm also involved with the Unite Battle Hubs. So yeah, big shout out to them. I'm one of the mods over there. I'm not a caster, but I am one of the mods. not a caster, definitely.
A great mod.
I say the F word too much. But I have been talked to a lot about things happening in June for Pride Month. So that will be a very busy month for me. I don't think I can say any details about anything, but there's like already four or five things that I have been asked to do and be involved in. So June will be very busy for me. So look out, world.
For other reasons,
prepare yourself.
Too, not just for Pride. I'm just hinting this as her best friend because I'm not allowed. I told Psyche I would never say anything until it happens, but Psyche lies about something. If you know Psyche, then you know, but she lies about something very frequently, and that's also coming up around that time, too. So, yeah, it's going to be a really busy month for Psyche.
Ooh, I can't wait. Okay. Yo, this is so cool. The BFF episode. I can't even say it. I'm so excited.
Right? This is
oh, my
amazing.
Goodness.
I love
this
it.
Is so cool. I really want to thank Psyche for like helping put this together, because like when I tried to do the episode last week, I knew scheduling was a problem with Curly, but when Psyche said that she can get Curly for the week after, and I was like, oh, could both of you guys come? It'd be the BFF episode. And she's like, yeah, of course. And I was like, yo, that's W status right there. I love it. So
yeah, having Curly here made it less nervous for me. I liked having Curly here. Hey, let me
for real. Oh, the heart's out for real. So before we get out of here, typically I do this earlier in the show, but we'll have this as the ending. Let's start with Curly and then Psyche. Let's go with Curly first. Curly, How did you create your username, Gamertag?
Being a woman, I don't... Originally, my gamer tags were my first name, which my first name is very feminine. So, of course, when I started playing, like, online multiplayer games, it led to some, you know, not so great comments from some not so great people. Yeah. Being a woman gamer and whatnot. So I wanted to, like, I was trying to, whenever I got into streaming, I was like, okay, I have to, like, rebrand all my usernames and stuff because I'm not doxing myself. I tried to, like, think of, I had to, like, give myself a nickname, which was really hard for me. And I just kind of, like, thought about, like, my physical appearance and trying to think of, like, something cutesy, short and sweet that I would, like to be called. And I don't know, I was thinking like gamer words. I was thinking of the word Q, like Q-U-E-U-E, however you spell it. And so I just kind of like eventually built on this curly Q idea. It's hard to tell when my hair is long, it's a lot easier to tell my hair is curly, but I have naturally wavy curly hair, and I wanted to spell it with an IE instead of a Y because it felt more like a name, not like a curly would, I guess, be like an adjective. And then I added the Q onto it because when I was little, my family would like play with my hair and be like, oh, your curly Qs are so cute. So like they refer to like my curly locks as curly Qs. So it just kind of like built on to this, you know, curly Q idea. And I was like, all right, I'm curly. That's me. And honestly, I get called curly way more than I get called my real name. Psyche knows my real name. And sometimes when we're having like a serious moment, she will use my real name, and like I don't mind that she uses it, but sometimes it's just like I'm like reading DMs and I'm like, ugh, my real name, like it just makes me like kind of shut, like I don't mind it at all. It's just so weird because like I'm just so used to being called curly, and even when my family like does it too, like I'm just so used to seeing curly, being called curly. So when someone uses my real name, it just like really like catches me off guard.
I have a I love that story question, if you don't mind. I know nobody knows because I straighten the crap out of my hair, but I also have naturally wavy hair. What the heck do you do to make it look as gorgeous as your hair does? Because mine looks like a total ragamuffin problem when I wake up. So I'm like, all right, flat iron, like what's your secret?
So I actually used to follow this method called the curly girl method. And so I learned like a lot of ingredients that are not good for curly hair and kind of found brands that, are actually meant for curly hair. Cause you'd be surprised at how many products are marketed for curly hair and they're actually not. They're filled with terrible ingredients that, you know, are probably the reason why it's hard for you to manage your curly hair. So I can, you know, give you that information off podcast. But yeah, I basically follow, like I only use products with certain stuff. I use a curl defining cream, and then a diffuser. I dry my hair with the diffuser, so like I tip my hair over and I just use the diffuser. And yeah, that's really all I do. It's actually super low maintenance.
That's amazing, thank you. I've always wondered, I'm like, her hair's so beautiful.
Thank you. I miss it being long, but I'm going to grow it back out.
So, question for Psyche, because I was trying to set it up before. I believe you may have hit a milestone, which unlocks this new thing you're going to do, dressing up as Guy Fieri. And last week, I was privy to some information that the STR in your name is Star. But I heard a story about what it could have been from somebody else. So you want to get into that? How did you create your username? Go for it.
So I created my username because I really like psychic Pokemon. I didn't know if you guys knew that. But spelling Psyche, like the actual spelling, the like P-S-Y-C-H-E, it was taken on Unite. So I was like, I'll spell it with the key instead. And then STR, I really like stars. So I was going to be Psyche Star, but for some reason I decided to omit the A. I don't know why. I thought it would look cool. And so a lot of you guys are familiar with Mini Shep. And yes. I went into his chat one time and he was like, what does the STR stand for? Stromboli? Everyone started calling me Psyche Stromboli. And I like leaned into it. I'm not even mad about it. I like having nicknames. But yes, I did hit 1K followers on Twitch, and I went to a bachelorette party in Austin where we all decided to dress up as Guy Fieri and go clubbing on 6th Street. Don't know why that happened. lots of pictures, though. And so I have the wig, and I was like, randomly one day, I put in my announcements, 1K, and I'll dress up as Guy Fieri on stream. I think part of me didn't think I would hit 1K before I stopped streaming. And now I'm like, oh, that happened really fast. Crap. So now I have to dress up as Guy Fieri. Thank you for reminding me, Mike.
Oh, let's go. Oh, most definitely. Like this past week, like I think it's been a week I found out, and I was just like, I can't wait till Sunday's podcast, because finding out that Mini Shep said Stromboli was like the funniest thing ever.
So
I'm
good.
Googling Stromboli. I'm like, this looks pretty good, but it's a weird nickname,
yeah,
but it's funny.
He doesn't call me Psyche anymore. He calls me Stromboli.
Stromboli.
I didn't even know what a Stromboli was.
Too funny. I want to thank you guys so much for coming on Surrender Fi Podcast. This has been an amazing show, and time flies when you're hanging out talking to friends, and I can't believe we're a little past our time. So thank you guys for being here. And Attica?
Yes. Do I get to do the honors?
Oh yeah, I was giving the floor to say thank you to everybody. I don't want to talk.
Oh, absolutely. No, that's what I figure is the honors. But before I say thank you to everybody, I want to make sure that we get the plugs in from both Curly Q and Psyche. Where can we find you? Where can we follow you? Tell us all about everything. I want to know all the tags. Where are you guys online? Where can everybody go to find you before we end today?
I'm Curly Q. CURLIEQ. You can find me on Twitch. I stream every Monday through Friday. I go live at 5 p.m. Mountain Time. And I play a heck of a lot of Pokemon Unite. And yeah, if you look up Curly Q on YouTube and Twitter and stuff, I'm sure you'll find me somewhere on there.
Google her.
Yes, Google her.
I'm sure she'd pop up right now. Like,
yeah, she actually does.
Probably. Yeah. And then Psyche.
So it's PSYKEY in all caps, because I really love caps lock. And then lowercase STR with, yeah.
Stromboli.
So I mostly use Twitter and Twitch. Otherwise, like, I have a TikTok that I don't use. And I thought about starting YouTube, just doing like really stale reactions to things, just like YouTuber reacts to this Pokemon Unite play, and I'm just like, cool, good play. But it's a work in progress.
Please do. Please do.
Yes. It's not a whole idea yet. I thought about it in the shower yesterday.
Please do.
Love it.
Love that. Real quick, Psyche, has anyone ever compared you to like Aubrey Plaza?
Only every day of my life.
Okay.
Aubrey Plaza, I got Charlie XCX today, and I've gotten that a few times, but Aubrey Plaza constantly. And I say I'm timid and shy in real life. I'm also a little bit on the aloof and kind of dark humor side. So when I used to live in Colorado, and all my friends were like, you are Aubrey Plaza. You look like her, and you, we think you're going to kill us in a weird way in the middle of the night. But we like it.
Oh my goodness. I was like, I don't want to say it, and like, this is something she hates, it's a trigger, but I was like, go for it. Just
no,
so
it's a huge compliment.
Okay, cool. But yeah, thank you guys for being here. For those listening, for me, you guys can find me everywhere, Mike Lowry on Twitter, Mike Lowry Pod. I'm not Mike Lowry in the game anymore because Unite hates me, but it's cool. We're here every Sunday at 7:30 Pacific time. And thank you guys for listening, downloading, and checking us out on YouTube. And we're going to send it to Attica to get us up out of here.
Seriously, thank you guys all for being here. It's amazing. Everybody who's tuning in live, everybody who is watching on other platforms or listening, you guys rock. Thank you, Curly Q. Thank you, Psyche, for being here. And of course, as we wrap it up here, remember, if you see us online, join her at 5.
Oh, yeah.